So today's parasha is Balak, and I shared at the beginning of the service that Balak is the name of the book called Balak because it's the first word in the section, this portion of scripture, which begins in Numbers 22. But the real story there is about, in my view, the real story is about the blessing that the Lord wants Israel to have, but that the enemy doesn't want him to. The blessing the Lord wants Israel to have, but the enemy doesn't want him to. And so there's a so-called prophet that is used by King Balak to want to curse Israel. Not to bombard them, not to throw them A-bombs. Worse, to curse them. I know you don't get it. You know, we are from the United States. We don't get it. We don't get what a powerful thing this is. But this entire section is about that. And this has impacts the entire scripture because at the conclusion in the book of Revelation, the Lord talks about the doctrine of Balaam in Hebrew. That doctrine is not to be there. He talks about it multiple times. So here's a direct reference in the book of Revelation, a direct reference to what's going on here. And yes, it's about the donkey that speaks and there's all those things that happen there. But the real essence of all of this is that the enemy wants to curse Israel. And he wants to curse the children of Israel. That means he wants to curse anything Israel, including those that are grafted into Israel, which means us, okay? The enemy wants to curse us. Yah, Jehovah, he doesn't want that. He's not going to allow that to be. In paraphrasing, Balak, the king of the area that the children of Israel want to come through peacefully, they will pay for that. Moses offers, I will pay, we'll do whatever it takes. We want to peacefully go through your area. Where are they? They're coming from the south, where Eilat is, going into the area of the Jordan. Okay, that's where they're coming. You can see from that area, if you get into a mountain, you can see the Jordan River. You can see the Dead Sea, the Jordan River, and you can look in the distance and see the Kinneret, where it starts. You can see the land of Israel. Okay? So they're coming there. They got to pass through that area in order to get to Jordan. They're going to cross from Jordan, but you know that's going to be Joshua's job. To cross them over. The entire book of Deuteronomy is about to happen. We're like a month away or something like that away from crossing the river. The people have been in the desert for almost 40 years. And, you know, this idea of being able to see. So Moses is not looking to have any problem with the Moabites. Moab is related to Israel. It's related to, you know, there's a relationship. And these are distant family members, so to speak. But, as you know, seems like if you want to have enemies, if it's in the family, that's a real enemy. The real enemies come from within the family sometimes. Maybe a lot of times the real enemies come from within, or the ones that, all the enemies are real, but the ones that hurt, that really bother us, come from the family. And this is family, the Moabites. But the king, it doesn't really want that. So in this case, the king represents the enemy, represents Satan, who doesn't want the children of Israel to go peacefully. Don't want them to go at all. Peacefully or not peacefully. So the king of the Balak, the king, hires Bilam to curse Israel and negotiates money to do this. By the way, you think, oh, he go find him. I was reading in preparation for this that Balaam's area is not the same area from here. Balaam is not from this southern part of the desert. He's from the Persian area. He's from the north, from over there someplace. So look for a moment, think for a moment. He didn't just send for somebody next door. He sent for somebody that has a reputation, supposedly has a reputation, a seer. Let's call him a seer. Okay? Has a reputation, and he's convinced that if this seer curses Israel, they won't have to have a war. They won't have to kill him. That'll be it. If they're cursed, it's over. We don't really get that. If it's cursed, it's over. But Adonai deals with this, I want to say semi-prophet, but here's the problem. I'll just use a biblical description. This is a double-minded person, which the scripture in the book of Peter says is unstable in the book of James. It's unstable in all ways, all his ways. He's double-minded because Yeshua said, you can't have the mind of the world and the mind of the Lord. You can't have good water and bitter water. You can't have good thoughts and evil thoughts together. It's impossible for that to happen in the natural. A good well doesn't bring bad water, and a bad well doesn't bring good water unless you throw the myrrh in there and bless it. The Lord can turn bitter water into good water, but outside of the Lord, those things don't happen. The Bible says that double-minded people are unstable in all their ways. So this description, this first part of Numbers 22 and 23, is the story of how Balaam gets to the mountains. There are mountains in Jordan, the children of Israel coming from the Saudi Arabia side. Okay, they're coming from the wilderness. And so he's going to get on top of a mountain, and he tells three times, he tells Balak, okay, the money got a little higher, so he must have been familiar with the Middle East, which you bargain for things in the Middle East. The price that they quote you is not the price that you can get it for if you know how to bargain. My son knows how to bargain, and I don't. So when we were in the Shuk, which is the Arab market in Israel, I watched him just bargain. And my wife and I were so embarrassed. And actually, his wife was a little bit too. Because all of Ian's family, we were there in the store, and he starts this thing. And, no, that's too expensive. So he cuts it in half. And but I have children, and this thing is going there aloud. And Marilyn is like, can we just go? And so we went ahead, okay? And as we were leaving, this had gone on for quite a while. The other guy came with a kind of a higher than middle, and Ian went lower than middle. Lower than middle. And he said, I don't need it. So he starts walking out. So we'll go, okay, so we're imagining this is done. It's a done deal. We start walking up the Shuk, and here comes the guy running. Okay? catches up with Ian and said, okay, you can, you know, and he turns the story about my family and my dogs and, you know, and all those things. And we're going to be poor. And Ian says, I'll give you. Now he gives 90% of that number. Take it or leave it. There's no way, man. I don't have that in me to bargain like that. I know you ladies somewhat do because I've been around some of you in garage sales. Not you. Not Shelby, not your friends, not your girlfriends. I go, and this is a good price. You know, this wrench is, it's half of what it costs at Home Depot. It looks really good. And buy it, and they go like, 30 years ago. You go sit in the car if you can. I'll get it. Give me the money, I'll get it for you. And she would get it for this ridiculous price. And there would be this happiness in the car coming back from Ocala to here while they raided all of the, I mean, these ladies descended on these places and it was like, phew, and they get all they wanted and they'd be talking about, I mean, we weren't that well off to do. I was a better off to do. All the ladies weren't. They were on fixed incomes and all those things and really didn't have money. So they had to actually bargain to get. But they got. They got. And I remember asking for the church, we need this piano. And Marilyn's friend Shelby said, I'll get it. I said, we only have this amount of money. I said, oh, no, we get a better one for that than what you have in mind. So she did. He always did. And I guess my son was little, 1, 2, 3, 4 years old. And he's watching all of this and he learned how to do it. So he went to Israel and he demonstrated how he could do it. But it's part of the culture. So Balak offers. Balaam says, well, I can only do what God lets me to do and so on. And they go back and forth. The next time, Balak comes back with extra, more donkeys, more money, more this, more that. And finally, the third time, he comes with all of this. Meanwhile, in between, Balaam asks Adonai if he can go, and Adonai says, don't go. Oh, okay, so he must be serving a different one than we do, because the one we serve will not change his mind, right? He changes not. But anyway, he's imagining that he can, and he keeps pushing. And there's a scripture that in for you and I in the book of Psalms that lets us know that we can have our way. We can override what God wants for us. We can have our way, but he will send leanness to our soul. Okay, that doesn't sound very bad at all. Leanness to the soul. It's a principle. You can actually pester him enough to say, get what you want. But you'll get what you want and you won't get, your soul won't be the same. Your mind, will, and emotions is what I'm talking about. Won't be the same. The inside won't be the same. Finally, Balaam, you know, agrees to go do this, but still says, I'm only going to say what God says. Well, I, you know, the other guy's going here like, come on now, man. I'm giving you all this money. I'll give you all this money, whatever. Go do what I'm asking you to do. So he goes there. He doesn't take anybody. He goes by himself. He gets on top of the mountain, and he oversees the encampment of Israel. And this is what he said, Numbers 24. Please listen carefully to some of the things here. When Balaam realized that he was pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel, I put this in red in my notes. When Balaam realized that he was pleasing, the boss is happy if you bless Israel. The big boss is happy if you bless Israel. Is that changed? Look, in Genesis 12, he said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So we know that he said that. But what doesn't say in Genesis 12 is, because I like to bless Israel. It doesn't say that in Genesis 12. It's implied, but right here, Balaam. You know, sometimes people who are not serving God totally have a better discernment about who he is and do what they need to do and who he is. And afterwards go, oh, that's not what I really wanted. Look, it says, verse 1, it was pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel. You know, so he's keeping the boss happy. He did not resort to sorceries like at other times. He put away sorceries. You know, can this guy be any good if he's doing sorceries? But turned his face towards the wilderness. Lifting up his eyes, Balaam saw Israel dwelling by tribes. He saw the 12 tribes of Israel. He saw the whole encampment of Israel from above, from the mountain. That's the same view that Yah Adonai or Elohim has of Israel when they're in the wilderness. He doesn't see them like we see them from here. He sees them from above. And when he sees them from above, he sees the arrangement of the tribes of Israel and all those things according to the pattern that was shown in the mount, which is the pattern of the throne of God. And you see the four beasts that are talked about in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. And you see that in the wilderness. You see the tribes of arranged in groups of four, led by one of the tribes. The banner for each one of those leader tribes is the face of those creatures in the book of Revelation. Okay, so this is what Balaam sees. He sees this happening. He sees there. And when you get you take a look, even by carnal eyes, you see something of the Almighty, something that is private to him. His private space being demonstrated in the tribes of Israel. Again, get excited. Because when that happens, and you see, if you are actually able to see the throne, if you're able to see what Isaiah saw, you're able to see what Ezekiel saw. If you're able to see what Balaam saw here, from the perspective of high and above. Okay? Here's the next statement. The Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of Adonai, came over him. Your theology might be a little bit challenged here. Holy Spirit doesn't come unless they're saved, right? You say. I'm just here to tell you a little something here. Don't put Yud Hey Vav Hey in a box. Don't put him in a box. No box. He will. Whom he will, whatever he wills. This way, because there's only going to be his way, because it always was his way, and it will always be his way. There's only one way, his way. But look, the Holy Spirit is involved here. The Holy Spirit directs, okay? comes over Balaam, the double-minded guy. He utters his oracle and said, this is the oracle of Balaam. You know there's a little bit of me here. So if I were to speak for the Lord, I wouldn't say, oh, well, this is what Tony is saying. The oracle of Tony. The only oracle I know is a database company. Okay? This is not the oracle. He's not going to say the... Even though he has the opportunity to speak the truth and speak from God's point of view, he begins by saying the oracle of Balaam. Okay. Son of Beor. And the oracle of a strong man whose eyes have been opened. Oh. I'm not weak. I'm a strong man. But my eyes were open. I have my own will. I can do things. But my eyes are open. The oracle of one hearing God's speech and one seeing Shaddai's, who? El Shaddai's vision. One fallen down yet with open eyes. Okay, that's a little better speech because you get in front, you get in the presence of the Almighty. You're going down. Verse 5. Matovu, Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. Matovu, how lovely. Ohalecha Yaakov, your dwellings, O Jacob. Mishkenotecha, your tabernacles. Mishkenotecha, your tabernacles. Israel. Of course, at this point, we let the orchestration come and Paul will say, Vani Verov Hasdecha, you know, etc. This is where that comes from. It's only a page, so you can relax. I don't have that's not a page. So in Numbers 24, this double-minded seer, Balaam, makes it to a mountain overseeing the encampment of Israel. Israel's unaware that any such thing is happening. They're down in the valley, and Balaam is up in the mountain by himself. He doesn't have a weapon there. He doesn't have an air force around him or anything of that. The Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is moving him to say, he wanted to curse, but the Holy Spirit moved him, turned his words around in his own mouth, and instead of cursing Israel, he blesses Israel. He was hired to curse Israel, but in the text, please note the following, that it is pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel. That is true today. That is true today, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look, to say, bless Israel, to bless Israel. Today, in the midst of the United States, it's pleasing to Adonai. It's pleasing to the Lord. The Ruach Elohim intervenes when it says, the Ruach came over him, and then he spoke. He was about to speak what he wanted to speak, but the Holy Spirit came and said, no, he can't. He now has to sing Paul Wilbur like, Ma Tovu. How lovely. Balaam, who will ultimately be declared absolute evil by the Almighty. When the new covenant is written, Balaam is ultimately deemed about as evil as you can get. You can go to one of the churches in Asia, and it talks about it. He gets Shaddai's vision, not his vision. Please note the words. This is the word of the vision of El Shaddai and the speech of the Ruach Elohim. Of course, we want to think this has to be a worthy vessel. He has the opportunity here to do it right from this point on. Because once you're visited by Adonai, once you're visited by the Lord, you're visited by the Holy Spirit, you have an opportunity. This was not his own vision. How powerful, ask a question, how powerful was the curse that he could have made? How powerful are Satan's curses? So much so, the Almighty intervenes. No, you're not going to speak that over my people. You're not going to curse them. Perhaps a better title of this episode would be, while Israel lived life unaware, not even conscious of their surroundings, the evil one planned to curse them. And who knows that? Children of Israel know that in the valley. So Moses knows this. So Aaron knows this. No, nobody knows this. Yeah, well, there's nobody. There's this one body that knows everything. In Numbers 25:1, Scripture states that while Israel was a chittim, they played the harlot with the Moabite women. This is in the next parashot, okay? And idols. As this was going on, this is next week's reading, the Almighty's on the scenes, even behind the scenes, if you please, battling the enemy to make it possible for Israel to inherit the blessing of the land and stopping the curse. In addition, there were human foes that sought their demise, but Israel was busy living their daily life, getting from part one to part two, from point A to point B, making the bread in the morning, making the lunch in the mid-afternoon, getting the water, because the water didn't rain and didn't come, didn't open the faucet or anything. They're busy doing everything. Be aware of the following. The Almighty was astounding the world, with his power, because, let me give you the bottom line, and then I say a few more comments. The Almighty can turn the blessings of Satan, the cursings of Satan, into blessings for his people. He has that power. Listen, doesn't matter what the enemy wants for you, what he's doing. The Almighty has the power to turn it around through his son Yeshua that's been purchased. Let me give you some comments. I could really preach hard here. But anyway, Balaam's blessing concludes with the following. He crouches like a lion or a lioness. Kind of reminds me of the lion roaring that just happened in the war that just ended. Who would rouse him? He who blesses you will be blessed. And he who curses you will be cursed. That's Numbers 22, verse 9. Right? Except that's the same as Genesis 12. The end of the blessing is a repeat of Genesis 12. I will curse who curse you, and I will bless who bless you. So, Balaam cannot possibly collect his money, because if Adonai doesn't want you cursed, he can't do it. And if he did do it, Adonai has a way to reverse it. He has the power to reverse it. That ought to be like, okay, awesome. We're now in our time. We're now in our time. Post-Yeshua. Here's what happens. The scripture, though, tells us between Numbers 24 and Numbers 25 that Balaam figured a way to collect his money. All that we have in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You remember who said that? In the Bible. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh had a hold of Balaam. And even though he had the opportunity, he was in front of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit is using him. He's speaking God's word. That's nice. But what about that car that I want? What about that house that I'm entitled to? What about the clothes that I'm entitled to wear? What about the food that I'm entitled to eat? What about what I want? And if you focus on any of that stuff long enough, you'll be ensnared by it. And that's a teaching I'm not making today. Made it before. So how did he get his money? He came up with an absolutely perfect plan. Get the men of Israel to curse themselves and their family. Get the, how Marilyn would say it, let's make a deal. He makes a deal with the enemy where he, the person, allows the enemy to do what he wants to do. The only way that the enemy can gain access to you is if you give him the access. The only way, look, the only way, but we can give him the access. How do we give him the access? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How is an entire nation that had just been delivered, that are about to go into the promised land, have seen the crossing of the Red Sea, have seen the water, have seen the manna, heard the word of Adonai directly. How is it possible? Well, here's how it's possible. Somebody comes in, and by somebody in, you know, let's have this thought. Well, you don't have any money, but the world owes you money because you shouldn't have been this. You have an entitlement. Here's a way that you can do this. I've seen the entitlements destroy my island of Puerto Rico. Destroyed it! Destroyed it! Destroyed it! When I came to this country, I was not in favor of no subsidy programs and none of this stuff. Comes with a price. All of a sudden, these working people, Puerto Ricans, had money given by the government to sit around home. So guess what? They don't sit around home. Because you sit around home and all you're doing is joining with the enemy and it became the most, some places in San Juan, Puerto Rico, became deathly places to go to. Because you just drive through there and they take you out of the car. Now they shoot you and take the car. Right next to the fort that represents Puerto Rico, right there. It's called La Perla, the pearl. Those people, it happens here too. The housing projects, all this money, all this stuff comes. People don't have anything to do. Young people have nothing to do. And I don't mind, it's the devil's workshop. It really is. And they become just evil as they can be. Because got to have something to do. We're not ever satisfied when we get what we want. One of the biggest problems is to get what we want. But sometimes we get what we want and it leads us away from the Lord. You be careful. You be careful that if by the hand of God you got something, not by the hand of man. Your miracle is from God. Steve, your miracle is from God. Treasure the thing. Because here's what happened. What was the plan? To get the Moabite women, virgins, to go and have sex and orgies with the children of Israel. But you're going to read about it next week, starting in Numbers 25. In other words, Israel fell into sin. But wait a minute, the ladies probably had nothing to do with this. The children didn't have anything to do with this. Well, who are these young men? Or just the bad ones? Who are the young men? They're the fathers. They're the husbands. They're the leaders of their household. And if the leader of their household turns away from God, he ain't care nothing about his own family. He just wants his own pleasure. This is what happened. They committed fornication with the Midianite women. That's what the scripture says. That's next week, okay? The consequence was a plague, and 24,000 Israelis died. You know, that's way more than if they had a war with Balak. Way more. This is way more people than the casualties of war. But I didn't say this, okay? Moses and Yeshua have something to say about this. You need to hear this. Moses said about this evil work of Balaam, because they hired against you Balaam, son of Peor, from Petor of Aram Naharim, to curse you. But Adonai your God refused to listen to Balaam, and Adonai your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because he loves you. Psalm 106 says, and they yoked themselves to Baal of Peor and ate the sacrifices of dead things. I'm not talking about crappy food or rotten food or anything like that. I'm talking about the very best. Because they gave their best to their idols. This is the prime rib steak and everything else. So they provoked Adonai with their deeds, and a plague broke among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, so the plague was stopped. It says it was credited to Phinehas as righteousness from generation to generation forever. I want to finish with the following thought, okay? Yeshua, at the discretion of the Father, Yeshua came to turn the curse into a blessing. Yeshua, at the discretion of the Father, turned the curse into a blessing. We deserve the curse. We deserve what we, all of us, do. We do, they did. But the Lord turned that around. And instead of a curse, we got blessing of life, life more abundant. The enemy of Adonai is continually observing our life. That's our dwelling place. Just like Balaam was observing their dwelling place. The enemy is continually observing our dwelling place, our lifestyle. And he's scheming to bring about curses to us. When he can't do it directly, because he can, he'll get us to curse ourselves. Oh no, I don't curse myself. Oh yes, you do. Oh yes, you do. How many times have you said of yourself, I'm so stupid? Well, if you say you're stupid, The enemy is here to make sure you are. He now has permission on stupidity in your life. He had no permission, but I'm so stupid. Lord, I'm just speaking here. I'm not really saying that about me. I'm not stupid. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's what I am. Look, these are not imagined curses. These are real. We're not even aware that there's an enemy of our soul, that the enemy of the Lord is the enemy of our soul, and that he's contriving continually to get a Balaam to come in and curse us. In other words, there's a conspiracy against each one of us, and it's a real conspiracy. It's taking place right under our noses. Wake up! We've been blessed by Adonai and his son Yeshua, and we can choose the blessing. Let me say that again. We are blessed by Adonai and his son Yeshua who died for us. And we can, C-A-N in red, big. We can choose the blessing and not the cursing. That's in Deuteronomy. That's coming. Nitzavim. Deuteronomy 28. That was the last time TJ read the Bible. She read that. Look, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear when it comes to curses. Because Adonai's protective hand is over you. That's why the Bible can say no weapon formed against you, or that will be formed against you, or that will be formed using AI, or can prosper. None, because he doesn't let it unless we let it ourselves. You have more authority than God. Yes, because Yeshua was given all authority, and before he left, he gave it to us. All authority in heaven is mine. Therefore, you guys got it. Go and do the work. So you actually have the authority to curse yourself. You have the authority to turn yourself down. You have the authority to waddle in the mire. You know, and some of us, okay. I'm sorry, ladies, but a bunch of guys here that are my age know what I'm talking about when you hold a toilet like this. I can't think of anything worse than embrace the toilet. Well, how did you do that? Drugs. How'd you do that? Alcohol. How'd you do that? Things of the flesh. You see, no weapon, curse, or ill can touch you if you're in the palm of his protective hand, as long as you choose to stay there. Yeah, the being covered by his wings, all of that's available. But you choose. You have free moral agency. He's not going to violate your free moral agency. No. He doesn't want robots. He wants real people that choose to love him and to live in his love, and that continually make the decision to choose him and live in his love. Fear not, but he's always with you. Trust him completely. And in your dwelling place, my last statement, in your dwelling place, your lovely dwelling places, do not give the enemy any permission or reason to curse you. Do not in your dwelling place give the enemy any reason to curse you. How does that happen? Oh, well, we can say, well, I forgot. Oh, well, I didn't think about it. Oh, well, I really wanted to have that drink today. I just got to have my six pack. I just got to have whatever, okay? I'm not necessarily talking about beer. We can just choose to just become self-centered, which is really easy. We're that way. It's by God's mercy that He sent Yeshua that we can be part of Yeshua and do what the book of Romans says do. Put death is flesh. And stay in the spirit. So don't. Do not. Look, it's only you. I can't not do it for you. If so, you could hire me to come like the plumber and come and, you know, anoint all everything in your place. Okay? And so the Lord would get a... Well, I guess the rabbi did pretty good. He anointed that and he's good now. He came, he sent the Brit Hadashah, and when the Brit Hadashah comes, he will write Torah in our heart. We will be functioning out of our heart, and out of our heart will come no more cursings, no more put-downs of our own self. If you don't want to say that you're good, don't say you're good. Just say, He's good in me. Because He is. He's good in anything He does. He's always good in me. And you can stop this kind of stuff. What destroyed the children of Israel? 24,000 dead. Immorality. And the flesh. Oh, I thought you were talking about the political parties of the United States. The godly nation is godly no more because they've listened to the flesh. And it's what makes good to the eyes in the flesh. Nobody's asking out there, what does God want? Not even Trump! What does God want? Let's be the ones that ask that. What do you want for my life? And set out to do that. And don't take any curses. Don't receive any curses. Don't put yourself in a place to be cursed by the enemy or anything else. By the way, I'm talking about curses and I'm not talking about consequences. We'll talk about that another day. Galatians 6:1. I'm not talking about consequences. I'm talking about blessing and curse. I'm blessed. It's by the blessings of God that I can make money, by the blessings of God, that I can have a family, that I can have what I do. My son, Tom Crowley, reminded me of that yesterday in a phone call on his birthday. He said, "Preach it, son." Amen. Please stand.